Just to review a little bit what we discussed yesterday, there is an institution of Drisha v'Chakira, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnais in Sanhedrin point out that we add up the words that appear in the Chumash, v'Darashta v'Chakarta v'Shalta Heitev. It says it by Avodah Zarah, and it says it by Adam Zimmerman, the third place, I forgot it was there. And you add them up together, it adds up to seven questions. And if the Edim say any Adeya on the Drisha v'Hakira, the Mishnah says that you don't accept the Edis. And the Gemara says the reason why is because it's Edishi Yati Yochel Azimo. You can only be Mazim the Edim if they say this Banan Emokim, and then another pair of Edim will come and say, another Kachni will come and testify, how can you say that the Halvor took place in New York on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock? In Mono Hayisim, we were in Philadelphia at 9 o'clock. On Sunday morning, so you can't be made. So it's only going to be Eidushat Yochel Azim if they say this man and machmir. Say any of there is no good. So in the Torah, the Pashtus is that it's no good both by Mominus and by Nefoshes. But with the Rabbanon, they did away. That's the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Perek Echadidim Mominus, Vechadidim Mominus, Vechadidim Nefoshes, Bedrisha Lechakira. In our Torah, you need Drisha Lechakira Mominus, it's just like in Nefoshes, Shenemar. Nishpatecha Yolachem, the dinam of the Edim, the Hilchas Edis, is the same in Mamas and Nefashas. The difference between Mamas and Nefashas is in the Dayanim. There are 10 Asar Echelukim, Shebei Mamas and Nefashas. All 10 are regarding the Bezdin, the number of Dayanim, that by Mamas it's sufficient with a Bezdin of 3. If you want, you can have 100, but it's sufficient with 3. The minimum is 3. In the Foshas, the minimum is 23. And then there are another 9 chilukim between Mamas and the Foshas and the Bezin that are based on the Hitzila Ho'eda. So we pointed out yesterday, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, Mishnah with the Gemara, that by Shor HaNiskal and by Mesis and Mediach, you don't have an inyan of the Hitzila Ho'eda. We don't bend over backwards to try to acquit the Shor or try to acquit the Mesis and Mediach. It says, Lasachma Lasachas Olof. By Mesis and Mediach. So you only require the Bezin of 23, but the other 9 Chilukim, the Mamas and the Fashas, that are really an extension based on the principle of Vitzilu Eda, those don't apply, not by Shor HaNiskal and not by Mesis and Mediach. And by Malkus, there's a Machlekes HaTanaim in the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin, how large and Bezin do you need? We pass on Allah Malkus Bishloisha. You only need 3, but all of the other 9 chilukim between Mamas and Nefashas and the Bezin do apply to Malkus, because it's an Oyin Shaguf. So just like by Misa, we bend over backwards to acquit the person who's being judged. So by Malkus also. By Malkus also. So Minatari need Rish Mechakira by Mominus, just like by Nefashas. But with the Rabbanon, they did away with the need. What right do they have to do that? Hefker bez nefker. Dinim amnes, they can change whatever dinim they feel is necessary to change. If you have a tzarech godel, what's the tzarech godel and mamnes to do away with Drisha v'Chakira? The Gemara says, Nim tzata yechoshesh v'nilas delas bifnei lovin. If you're going to insist that you need zman amakam, so let's say I lend someone $100, and the Gemara says in Bav Mitzia, Tzenisa lifnei iver, to lend money to somebody without having Edim watching, without having Edim sign on a document, because the fellow may forget that he owes you the money, and then he may on purpose not want to pay you back. So you may be misleading him into denying that he owes the money. So fine, I have Edim, but they're not going to remember what week it was and what day it was. They're not going to remember what year it was, what the Parsha Shavuot. They remember in the base matters. I lent them $100 because he had to go shopping for something. They're not going to remember this man of Mokum. So when the Rabbanu Kadesh Allah Tin Al Dalas, but they love him, they did away with the need for Drisha V'Chakira. Memela, if you don't need Drisha V'Chakira, so Memela, they obviously did away with the need for Eder Shat Yochel Azima also. So Mominus, you don't need, that's the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes, Eder Shat Yochel Azima is no good, indeed in the Foshas. So that's a big machloikis in Choshe Mishpat. The Rambam meant to say that min ha-Torah, min ha-Rabbanah, for sure, you don't need Eidah Shati Yochel Azim and Dinim Amunis, because min ha-Rabbanah, you don't need Zman HaMakom. So it's always going to be, whenever the Bezin is not going to get the information of the Zmana Malkum is always going to be, by definition, Edushat Yochel Azim. So some Mefarshim say, I think the Shach has like that. The Rama met with the Rabbanan, you only need Edushat Yochel Azim by Nefoshes. In the Torah, you need a Mamanis also. It's with the Rabbanan, you don't need Zmana Malkum. So Mele, you don't need Edushat Yochel Azim. And other Mefarshim say no. That the Rambam formulated that statement on the level of the Reis, even before they did away with the need for Zman HaMakom. The Din of Eidu She'atoch Lazima is only required in Din of Nefashis. The only case that Mar has it, the Rambam perhaps understood the Din of Nefashis. It's like Iyum of the Edom, like we warn the Edom in advance. Are you sure you want to testify that the man is Chai Misa? It may turn out that we may catch you in a lie. We're going to give you the death penalty. So you only need Iyum by Dini Nefashis, by Mamanis. You're not Ma'ayim Al Ha'edim. You don't have to threaten the Edim. You better make sure that you're not telling a lie because we're going to punish you. So pay $100. That's a question. Okay. So that's the Dini Drisha Mechakira, the seven Chakiras, the Zman HaMakom. Then there's an institution of Nochon. In the Emes Nochon Adobis, the Gemara says, Nochon is a reference to the institution of Bedikas, that the Bezin should ask questions, detailed questions at Dina Nefashis. We want to acquit the person who is being judged. So you want to bend over backwards. So one of the ways of bending over backwards to acquit him is we ask detailed questions that are not that relevant, and if the witnesses contradict each other, then we throw out the testimony. There's a concern we may have murderers running around, so the Mishnah has in Sanhedrin, when you don't have a lot of times you can't give official Mises Bezdin. One Tana says if a Bezdin gives a Din Nefoshes once in 7 years, that's a Bezdin Chavlanis. Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Makkos. That's a miserable bezin. They should have acquitted the people. It shouldn't happen that it should be once in 7 years. One Tana says once in 70 years. The Gemara is not sure whether he meant once in 70 years is improper or that that's normal, once in 70 years. Gemara is not sure what the Tana meant. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says later in Sanhedrin, if you're concerned that you have dangerous people roaming around in the society, and they're a danger to the society, they're going to murder, and you won't be able to get kosher edim because you're going to bend over backwards to possibly edim. So we have a way of unofficially getting rid of them. Officially, we didn't give the death penalty, but unofficially, if you have people who are dangerous to society, so the Gemara learns off in the Pasuk, the Moises Rosh Ra, Pasuk in Tehillim, the Moises Rosh Ra, Sani Tzadik Yashamu, that we see to it that the Rishayim should have a Misa Mishunah. So the Mishnah has Machnis Moshe Lekippa, that you lock him up in a room, you don't get many food, and then he starves to death. So we get rid of those people. Or if a person keeps on violating Shabbos many times, time after time again, and you don't really have, there was no Hasra. So the Gemara says also, if a person violates Isuri Karis time after time again, also it depends how observant the community is. If the community is observant, and this fellow is breaking the discipline in the community, so then the Mishnah has also Machnis Moshe Lekippa. Okay. So that din of Bedikas, in Emes Nochen HaDavon, Nochen is a reference to Bedikas, so if the Bezdin will ask the witnesses, the Mishnah has this, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was a student, and he suggested they should interrogate the witnesses, someone murdered someone else, and they said, oh, he killed them under a tree. What kind of a tree was it? They say a date tree. What kind of dates were they? What color dates were they? They're supposed to notice what color dates they were. So if he says any day, that doesn't pass, even in Dina Nefoshet. But if the witnesses contradict each other, one says Uktzeh Hadakim, one says Uktzeh Gasim, one says that the ukits of the fruit where it's attached to the tree was all the dates were attached to the tree with a fat ukits, and the other eight says no, it was a thin ukits. So that's enough to pasaliate. So indeed in the Nefashis, we go out of our way to try to acquit the person who is being judged. In Mamanis, even if they contradict each other in Bedikas, it doesn't pasal. But that's what Tosis quotes. There is a discussion in the Gemara. Maybe there's another category of drishas. Drishas means not zman hamakom. It's not going to be edish at yochel azima, but it's about not what color shirt was the fellow wearing when he lent them the $100. What color were the bills? What color were they brand new dollar bills that were stuck to each other, hot off the press, very clean, or were they old dollar bills? So then the Gemara has one opinion, and that's a shaila how we paskin. If there's a contradiction regarding the bills, whether the mana shachar, mana lovim, whether the mana means $100, was it shachar alovim, was it brand new, were they old bills? So even in Didi Mamonis, we throw out the edus. If it would have been hakosha, what color shirt was he wearing? That's bedikas. So bedikas, even hakosha bedikas and mamonis doesn't passel. You forget it. Hakosha bedikas in the fashas passels. And not everything is hakosha bedikas. Not everything is called bedikas. If it's too far removed, then even indeed in the fashas, even if they contradict each other, that's milsa dolarami aleidei and mishlava daitu. People are not believed to pay attention to everything that's happening. So even if there'll be a contradiction in some insignificant detail, they're going to ask, what color socks was he wearing? That's what color shirt? It's more noticeable, what color socks? Who notices what color socks? So even if they contradict each other in the fashas, probably wouldn't be ein zeh nochen. So in Mamonis, so the Gemara has Rab Shimon ben Alot. The Shama Abisila were earlier years. Hillel was the chief rabbi, was the Nasi, and Shama was the Abbezin. The Gemara says in the first paragraph of Shama, 100 years before Chuban Baisheni. Chuban Baisheni was the year 70. So that was 30 years before the Common Era, when Hillel and Shammai were the chief rabbis. So they had yeshivas. Originally, Hillel and Shammai, they were doing their lifetime. The Gemara said they only have one machlokes about smicha and karbonos on yantiv. After they passed away, then there were many more disputes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. Many, many more disputes. So they knew that there was some kind of a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Edim who were contradicting each other. Some of the Edom said that he lent them $100, some of the Edom said he lent them $200. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar's version is the following. It's a question whether he's correct or not. This is years after the Bisham and the Bisilol, they're no longer around. Bisham and Bisilol said, we can't ask him. And they didn't write any Svarim. They didn't have any Svarim then. It was still, Torah Shabbat Peh was still being transmitted Baal Peh. They didn't write down the Mishnayos till the days of Ravina Ravashi. Rabbi and Rav Ashi were the ones who edited the Talmud Bavli, but it wasn't written down until centuries later, days of the Goinim. And they have now the correspondence that the Goinim had, whether they should write down the Talmud Bavli or they should still commit it to memory. It's a mazel that they wrote it down. Who would be able to remember the old Talmud Bavli? So Rabbi Shimon Elazar's version was, the Gemara says over here, someone was saying that he thinks that it's not correct. Ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So he said, when you show me the letter that they sent from Eretz Yisrael, I'll reverse the psak. Because when you don't show me the letter, he's not going to reverse it. So what does he say? Alochek Reb Shimon Elazar, that the machlek is Bisham Vesilil, if it's one aid in Mominus and one aid contradicts the other. One aid says he lent him $100, the other witness says he lent him $200. So you can't be mitzarf them together, because the amount of money that he lent them, that's not the same as what color shirt he was wearing. What color shirt is bedikas? Not even the same as saying mana shachar, mana lavan. Were they brand new bills or were they old bills? Brand new bills, old bills. That's what to discuss. Maybe that's also not drishas. But over here, where they lent them $100, $200, that's a new, we'll call it a new category. The chakiris, the seven chakiris, that's about zman hamakom. And the bedikas is only in the fashas. Maybe this is called chakiris. How much money did he lend him? One says he lent him $100, one says he lent him $200. Then can't be mitzar of them together. Even in Mamonis, not only Ein Zeh Nochen in the Fashe, Ein Zeh Nochen is even in Bedikas that they contradict. Here we call it Drishas, this category. If he'll say any a day, I'm not sure how much. I know for sure he lent him at least $100. I'm not sure whether he lent him more or not. So that, he says, any day is not a problem. But if they contradict each other, so that was The machlekes b'shama and b'shila. But if you have shnei kitayim, amachishim zozo, one kitayim, that's what Rav Shimon HaLosser says. So nechlukul b'shama, so there never was a machlekes, for shtei kitayim. Two edim say lent him $100, two edim say lent him $200. So that, since you have two edim on the $100, to make him pay an extra $100, the other pair of edim said there was no halvoah for $200, only halvoah. And the Malva says there was only one halvoah. The Malva says there was only one halvoah. So if you have two kitei edim, and then makhishim says about the second $100, so that he doesn't pay, like two edim say harak, two edim say lo harak. So you can't give the death penalty. Two edim say it's 200, two edim say it's 100, so the extra $100 he doesn't pay. But the basic $100, that they all agree that you do pay. So that's what the bottom Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha, and they give you in the Masoros HaShas, they give you the cross-reference. This same Gemara appears in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Aleph, and the same Tosfos appears over there with additional answers. So the Tosfos is working on the Kasha. If you have four witnesses, he can only accept the testimony of two of them, and the other two he can't accept, but they're all saying the same thing. Two of them say harak, two of them say lo harak. So that's not korav apasat, that's shnei kitayim hamakrishim zezeh. So you mekabel these zedim, mekabel those zedim, you don't know what to do, so you don't give the death penalty. Here you have all the four of them say the same thing, that he borrowed money, but they contradict each other. Two of them say it was $100, two of them say it was $200. So that's Tosfos Kasha. Why shouldn't this be governed with the rule in Nitzach and Edim Korav Apostle? You have four Edim, and either these two or those two are lying. Someone's telling a lie over here. So you can't accept the Edim who say that there's an additional $100 that he lent them $200. He can't accept that. So since two of the Edim can't be accepted, how can you accept the other two? Why not label this a Ninsech Menedim Korav Apostle? So in the last answer, Tosin says, since they're not saying the same, one pair of Edim says he owes $200, one pair of Edim says he owes $100. Bottom line, they're saying differently. So it's not one kata of Edim. The only time you apply Korav Apostle, if it's one kata Edim, they're saying the same. That's the last suggestion that Tosin gives. Since they're makrish each other regarding the extra $100, it's not one kata of Edim. Then Tosfos there in Sanhedrin has another answer, that maybe only apply Korav Apostle if they testify Tuchah de Dibra of each other. Where'd they get such an idea from? It's the Gemara Makis on that sugya. But the Gemara says it's going to get to a different din, Achi Azom Bakulam. You only give a punishment of Kash Azom. Let's say there were four witnesses. They all said Reuben killed Shimon. And you mazim two of them. So the Mishnah says you don't give the punishment of Kash Azom because it was one big katedim, and you need achi azam ukulam. So the Gemara says, achi azam. What does it mean, hazam? It means that the whole story is make-believe. They weren't even there. They were in Philadelphia on Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. They weren't in New York at all. So what are you going to say? What's mitzarif the four people together? The fact that they all saw Rias HaMaisen B'yachad. Rias HaMaisen B'yachad. There was no Rias HaMaisen. They were in Philadelphia on Sunday morning. So the only thing that could be mitzarif them is the Haggadah Tuch de Dibur. That's Mitzarev them. So the Gemara says you only require Achi Azam Ukulam in order to give Kash Azam to all four if they all testify Tuch de Dibur of each other. But if two testify together, then there was a pause. Then the second two testify Tuch de Dibur of each other. You don't need Achi Azam Ukulam because they're not Mitzurif Yachat. So the Gemara says it only been get to the din of Achi Azam Ukulam. Mar never said it, then he gets to the din of Dimtzach and Me'edim Karva Apostle. So Tosfos there in Makis, Davov and Aleph, Tosfos distinguishes. They say by Karva Apostle, you don't have to have Tech Dedima. Vim Taima Maishna, why should there be a difference? It all depends if it's one Kadem. So Tosfos says, no, it's a big difference. Hachi Azom Bakulam, it turns out that they were Huzma, they weren't there. There was no Rias HaMaisa Bebasachas to be mitzarev them. They didn't. There was no Rias HaMaisa. We don't know. Maybe the story never happened at all. Maybe it did happen. But there was no. They weren't watching. They were in Philadelphia on Sunday morning. So the only thing that could be mitzarev them is the Haggadah Tuchah de Dibur. But by Korav Apostle, all the four Edom were watching this story. It's just that one of them is a Korav, and the other, one of them is a Rasha. He's Posel Eidus, but the others are not Posel. So Tosfos says there, the Rias HaMaisa is mitzarev them together. So there's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Aleph, where they disagree with that Tosfos in Makas Davov. Tosfos in Sanhedrin, that the Ayin Mishpat, not Ayin Mishpat, Asaras HaShas, refers you to that Tosfos. Tosfos in Sanhedrin suggests, maybe even with respect to the din of Nimtzach Meredim Karva Pos, maybe also you need, they should testify Toch Redibra of each other. Then Tosfos suggests another answer over here. Maybe the Gemara is assuming here, like the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Yossi, that the din of Korav Apostle only applies in the Fosh, it doesn't apply to Mominus, and that's a Meferish and Machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe. Rebbe holds it applies both to Mominus and the Fosh, and Rabbi Yossi holds it only applies to the Fosh. So the difficult line in Tosfos is, Tosfos says, V'hochi Hilchasa, and that's the way we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that Korav Apostle only applies to the Fosh. Doesn't have time. How do they know Hachi Ilchasa? Because Rab Nachman Paskin is like that. So it says on the side, it's. what do they write here on the side? It's a mitzvah l'sakin. You have to correct the Tosfos. There's something fishy over here. The Gemara says Faker. The Gemara in Makkah says just the reverse, that we Paskin like Rebbe. We don't, but this is what's Rab Nachman passing like Rabbi Yossi. It's not true. Rab Nachman says beferish that it were here by the letter Aleph, somewhere over here. Somebody writes over here that there's a misprint, that there's something wrong here, because Rab Nachman and Makas, the above and Aleph, does not say it like that. He says, Aloha ki Rebbe, and Shulchan Aruch Hoshimishpat. Hoshimishpat is about din in the Foshas, not about din in the Foshas. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about din in the Foshas, talks about din in Mamanis. The quote said the din of Korav Apostle applies Bisman Hazeh also, even in Dini Mominus. So that's a problematic line in Tosfos. Then there's another line in the Tosfos in Sanhedrin, on Daf Lamed Aleph, where Tosfos says, two Edim say he lent him $200. So there's a contradiction between the two, but you don't know who's telling the truth and who's telling a lie. So you can't make him pay $200 because two Edom say he only borrowed $100. But you can make him pay $100. All four Edom agreed that he owes him $100. So the $200, you don't know who's telling the truth, so you don't make him pay. So Tosfos asks the kasha, since two of the Edom are lying, you don't know who. So why not say Korav Apostle? So Tosfos gives an answer. You only say Korav Apostle when it's your dua, who the apostle is and what the psul is. I know he's a relative. He's a brother of the person whom we're judging. I know he's a criminal. He cheats in business all the time. That's a Rasha de Chametz. He cheats in business all the time. Or he doesn't keep. The Gemara has a machlekes in Sanhedrin. Usually when there's a machlokes abai v'rava, we usually paskin like rava, except for six cases known by the Rosh HaTeves, Yal Kigam, where we paskin like abai. So the mem of Yal Kigam is mumoich nevelis lahachis. A person is reformed Jew. He's very honest. He has integrity in business, always honest. But he was brought up by Reformed parents, and they never kept kosher. They don't believe in kashrus. What do they believe in? It's very unclear. They're not too sure themselves what they believe in, but they don't believe in kashrus. Okay. So that's a machlekes habai v'rav. So Rav is of the opinion, only Rasha de Chamos, if a person is a ganef, if he knows the law, he knows what kashrus is all about, and he compromises on his principles in order to save money. If you don't keep kosher, you have more money. If you work on Shabbos, you're going to make more money. So this person, he doesn't keep Shabbos. He doesn't keep Shabbos because he's reformed. His parents educated him with such an education. There's no mitzvah Shabbos, no mitzvah kashrus. So if a person is a mumer, lahachis means not that he's compromising on his principles. Shabbos and kashrus and Taras HaMashpacha, not from his principles. He's not compromising on any principles. So that's a machlokes habai v'rav. So Rava holds that he's kosher later, and we don't paskin like Rava. That's one of the six cases of the Yal Kigam, the mem of the Yal Kigam, mumer, and the velus, lahachis. He's not doing it with teyom and to save money. Not that he's compromising on this principle. This is not from his principle. So we paskan like Abai. Such a person is puzzled. So the Tosfos in Sanhedrin has they're giving a whole bunch of answers. How can Rabbi Shimon Elazar say, if you have chad gabi chad, Beishamai say they're not mitzvah from yachad. But if you have trey, then you don't say karva posel. Is that a contradiction? They're not mitzvah from yachad means that you don't assume that it's just an honest mistake. You assume that there's a contradiction here. So if you have two and two, you should say that it's karva posel. So Tosi gave a few answers. One answer was halachic Rav Yosi, that a moment is you don't say karva posel, we don't accept that answer. One answer was they didn't testify tuch ledibo, we don't accept that answer either. We pass like the Tosfos in Makkos, you only need haida tuch ledibo for achi azom kula, but you don't need it for karva posel. Then the other answer they give is, you only say nimtzech ve'im karva posel if you know who the posel is. He's a relative, he cheats in business all the time, or he's not a shomer Shabbos. So we know the person is posel. But over here, it's two against two. You don't know which two are telling the truth, which two are telling a lie. So the din is you can't accept the testimony. Those who said $200, you can't accept their testimony on the extra $100 because the other two edim say it was only $100. You can't accept the testimony of the two who said $200. But we don't know that they're lying. So that's what Tosfos sounds like. That's what they're saying. Karav apostle only means if there's a psul on the person. The person is postulated. You don't know who's postulated. One of the two pairs of edim gave an edim sheker. But you don't know who. So just because he can't accept the testimony of the two who said $200 because they're contradicted by the two who said $100, that's not Korob Apostle. Korob Apostle means the Gavra is Apostle, not that you can't be Mekabel the Eid. That's what it sounds like. Just yesterday, somebody brought me the Sefer, the Levush Mordechai, or Moshe Mordechai Epstein, was the Rosh Yeshiva in Slabodka, in Europe. And then, I think in the 20s, they heard a rumor that the Polish government is going to draft the yeshiva guys. So they were very concerned that'll ruin the whole yeshiva. So half of the yeshiva decided to move to Eretz Yisrael. And half of the yeshiva remained behind. So the half who moved to Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Mordechai Epstein went with them. He was a big Talmid Chacham. And he's the one who put out the strong Levush Mordechai, Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, different Mesichtas, and Shubas as well. So in his Sefer, Levush Mordechai, they just reprinted it. We were touring in Eretz Yisrael, so as part of the Shemitah tour, we visited in the Hebron Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. The yeshiva used to be in Hebron, but then there was a massacre. In 1929, there was a big massacre. The mazel was that most of the boys were not there on Erev Shabbos. Most of the boys went to an Oifruf. One of the boys was getting married, so most of the boys, I think, were in Petach Tikva. They were Nitzal, but they killed a few. Some of the boys who were killed were graduates of Yeshiva College. They didn't have this, 1920s, they didn't have the system set up yet that everybody goes to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year or two or three. But there were a few boys how many floors are there across the street? Five. I forgot already. On the top floor, in the faculty lounge, in the first building, in the faculty lounge, so there's a plaque, and it has the names of the four boys who graduated Yeshiva College who were killed in the Hebron riots. I remember once I was in, two summers I spent in Kiryat Arba, I was giving shurim, there's a big Hesdi Yeshiva there. So I remember on Tisha B'Av, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, it says in the Mishnah, so you're supposed to go visit the cemetery. If there are tzaddikim buried there, so it's a mokum menuchas hatzaddikim, is a mokum mesugal for tefillah, so you should be mispal. And if it's not a Jewish cemetery also, if you can't get a cemetery with Jewish tzaddikim, so you go to a Goyish cemetery, so you'll become a little more serious, you'll realize we're not going to live forever, everyone's going to die, and we should all do tshuva. So I remember once it was on either on Shavuot B'Tammuz or on Tisha B'Av, one of the people took me to the to the cemetery in Hebron. It was an American, Rabbi Shurin took me to the cemetery in Hebron, and he showed me the matzevus of the four boys who had learned in Yeshiva Kav, the Americans who were learning there. But after the riots in 1929, so the yeshiva moved to Yerushalayim. Yeshiva moved to Yerushalayim. Now there is a yeshiva in Hebron, but that's Hebron. That's not Hebron yeshiva. That's different. It's a different yeshiva. They learn well over there also. Yeah. I think they have the building where the yeshiva is in Hebron now. So they have a sign there that this is the building where the Stechemet wrote his encyclopedia. The Stechemet used to live in Hebron. So this Rav Moshe Mordechai Epstein has in a sefer on Bava Basra, he interprets that that's what the Tosfos in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Aleph means. That the only time you apply the rule of Nitzach and Meredim Korav Apostle, if it's a psul on the person, he's either a Korav or he's a Rosha. But if he's neither a Korav nor a Rosha, just you can't accept his testimony because you don't know. It's two against two. So the ones who say $200, you can't accept what they said because they're contradicted by the others. You don't know who's telling the truth. So then you don't apply the rule of Nimtzech Mehem Korav Apostle. Okay. So what's the din on Omid Aleph? The Gemara quoted the pasuk from Mishlei, "Sach picha le'ilen." If a person is mute and he can't speak, help him out. A person is standing online and he can't talk. So if you know what he wants, so you be the spokesman for him. "Sach picha le'ilen." So that's the din of Taininan is based on that. But you only say Taininan. That's what the Gemara. You only say Taininan l'lekuchas or Taininan li'isaimim. If you know that the moicher who sold it to the lekech doesn't know how the moicher got it. Maybe the one who sold it to him stole the karka. So we say Tanina, but you only say Tanina if we have Edim, the Dor Bechad Yoyma. We know that the Moicher who sold it to Lakeach, or the father who died and left it Birusha to his son, we know that they lived there at least one day. So then you say Tanina. So then the Gemara tells a story. Hu Gavra, once upon a time. Hu Gavra, the line begins with the word Gavra. It's about 13 lines from the top. Hu Gavra, the door, the Kashto Ba'alisa. He lived upstairs in the city Kashto, Shei Mokam. Arb Dishnei. He was living in a house for 4 years. Cheskas Habatim. Cheskas Habatim on a field is by planting and harvesting. Cheskas Habatim in a house is if you live in the house. That's the Cheskas Habatim. So the fellow was living there for 4 years. Also, Mori de Beso. So the original Morikama comes. Ashkeche, he says, "What? Amalei, my boy's Bahai Beso. What are you doing in my house? I'm the owner of the house. Amalei, I bought it from so-and-so. Miplanya Zavinto, Zav Naminoch. I bought it from so-and-so who told me that he bought it from you. Also, the Kama de Rabchia. So he went for a dintar by Rabchia. Amalei, so Rabchia Gepasman, Yislach Sade, the door by Ihu. If you have two witnesses, will testify that the one who sold it to you lived there at least for one day, then we say Tanin and Lilukuchas. Then we'll pasken in your favor. But if you can't produce two witnesses that the one who sold it to you lived there at least one day, so then we're not going to say Tanin. Omer Rav. Rav was a nephew of Rav Chia. He was a double nephew. Rav Chia had a half-brother who was Rav's father and a half-sister who was Rav's mother. The half-brother, half-sister were not related to each other. Rav's father and mother were a half-sister's half-brother to each other. So they themselves were not related. Okay. So, Omar Rav, Habibi, I was by my uncle, Rav Chia, when he passed in that Shaila. I'm relaying, I asked him a question. V'chiyen an masa likach limka balayla. Why do you have to have witnesses, two witnesses who will testify that the one who sold it to the machzik, the one who has cheska batim, was dor bechad yoima? There are cases where people buy real estate and then they flip it over the same day. For some reason or another, the wealthy people like that, some reason or another, the owner of the karka will not sell it to someone, only sell it to me. And when I buy it, I just flip it over. I flip over the ownership to the other guy. Just in 5 minutes, I flip it over. So that's what Rav Tainit, Rav says. I was by my uncle when he passed like that, by Rav Chiya. Chavivi is my uncle. And I asked him, maybe he bought it and he sold it in the same night that he bought it. So Rav Chiya never answered. I understood on my own that my uncle thought like this. If the machzik, the one who has a cheskabatim, will claim kamoy didizov neminoch, if he'll say, I was present when the moicher who sold it to me, when he bought it from you. That's a tainus bari. Then you don't have to have dor bechad yomim. Mehemen, then he's believed. Why? Migadi bo yomar, anoz zirin teminoch. But if I don't, the machzik doesn't claim, I was there when the one who sold it to me bought it from you. He just says, I bought it from so-and-so. I don't know if he stole it or if it really belonged to him. So then you only say tanina, and if you have eidim, that dor bechad yomim. Okay. Sounds like Rav Chiya never answered it. But Rav understood on his own that's what Rav Chiya's psak was based on. Omar Ola Kabasi Rav Chiya Mistavra, he thinks he's right. Diktani, we have a braisa. Abom Misham Yerusha, Ein Atzorach Taina. That's the Mishnah. That's not a braisa. That's the last line of the Mishnah. Abom Misham Yerusha, Ein Atzorach Taina. We say Tainina. The Mishnah has a din of Tainina. So it says, Abom Misham Yerusha, Ein Atzorach Taina. So the implication is Taina Huda Laboy, or Raya Boy, but he has to produce two witnesses will testify that the one who, his father, who died and left the Rabbi Yerushalayim, his father was Dor Bechad Yom. The Gemara said, what kind of a proof is that? That doesn't necessarily show the Rav Chiya's Pesach is correct. The Dilma, perhaps, lo Rai Boy, lo Tainet Boy. Maybe you need neither. He can't, that's not a good Rai from the Mishnah. But we do, well, we pass him like Rav Chiya, even though there's no Rai from the Mishnah. Then the Gemara has a Shaila, Iboy Lahu, what if Nira Boy Mai? We don't have Edom that the father was living in the house even one day, but we know that the father was roaming around in the house at one point. So is that sufficient to prove that he once bought it? Because the father died and he left it Birusha to the son. He told the son, it belongs to me. The son doesn't know how the father got it, but he remembers once the father was visiting in the house. So is that sufficient? You have to have mamish two Edom, the Dor Bechad Yom, he lived there. That was the Shaila. So that's the Shaila. That's the Shaila. Where is it? V'boisema shiny lokeach delo shodi zuzi bichdi. I left out a line. What's that? V'boisema shiny lokeach. In the Mishnah, it says that what habamish mirusha and it's artaina that you say taninan, and this maisa shahoya was who gavra who was living in the attic for 4 years, and the Murakama came, and he said, "What are you doing here?" He says, "I bought it from so and so. He bought it from so and so." So. Is that necessarily the same? So, Priya Paskin, that you have to have a raya that the moicher lived in the house dor bechad yoima. For the Mishnah, perhaps it sounds like that. Abom mishimurusha ein etzorch taina tainahu dolo boy, or raya boy. You have to prove that the father was dor bechad yoima, but it doesn't necessarily carry over to lokeach. The boy saying, but perhaps there's room to say. Shaini lokech to the loshadi zuzi bichdi. What does that mean? The loshadi zuzi bichdi. But the fellow who was living in the attic for 4 years, he paid a fortune of money to buy the house. So he probably investigated before. Before you buy a house, you try to get a lawyer to figure out if there are any shibudim on the house. In the days of the Gemara also, there was such a practice. You would ask around. And maybe Shaini Lokeach to Lashodi Zuzi Bichdi. Maybe he doesn't even have to, maybe not like Rav Chiya. Maybe he doesn't have to prove. Maybe the only time you have to prove is by Yerusha. Because the Gemara made a deal from the Mishnah, Abba Mishnah Yerusha, and it's our time, Tainud Laboi. But Raya Boy, he has to prove that it was Dor B'Echad Yavim. Maybe that's only by Yerusha, maybe by Mekach, maybe you don't need it. But we don't paskan like that distinction. We paskan that it's the same. That Abom Mishem Yerusha and Abom Mishem Mekach, you only say Taninon if you have Edom that Dor B'Echad Yavim. Like Rav Priya said, the Gemara was suggesting, Yiboy same, and maybe there's a difference, but we don't paskan like that. Then the next line, the Gemara says, Yiboy Lehu, you don't have Edom that the father ever lived in the house near a bomahu. You have Edom that the father once came to measure to see the length and the width of the rooms to see how many rooms there are in the house, but you don't know that the father ever lived in the house. Is that good enough? Abai thought that it's the same. Just like if you have Edom that Dor Bechad Yoima, so too if you have Edom that the father was walking around and measuring, investigating how many rooms there are, how many rooms there are, and what the length and the width of each room is, that's equivalent to Edom, the Dor B'Echad Yavim. And we don't pass like Abai, pass like Rava. Rava Oben Inish Desire Arei Veloizoven. Sometimes people will look over an apartment and they won't buy it. They're considering buying it. So just because you have witnesses who will testify that the one who sold it to me, or that my father, whatever the case happens to be, either Abom Mishim Rusha, Abom Mishim Mekach, Toinim La Yorish, and Toinim La Lakech, just because there are witnesses who say that the previous owner, the father, or the Moicher who sold it to me, was measuring the length and the width of all the rooms, doesn't necessarily mean that he bought it. Maybe he was interested in buying it once and he never did buy it. So that's what we pass like Rabbi. The only time you say Taninon is if you have Edom Shador Bechad Yom, that he actually lived there. Okay. What's the din? Yeah.
Why do you only say Migo in a case where you say Kamai Didi Zavna? Why can't you say Migo even without that? You could just say I have it directly from you. You sold it to me.
But that's not true. He doesn't. He just says, I bought it from so-and-so, or I yarshin it from my father. Then Bezdin asks, how do you know that it belonged to him? He says, I don't know. So that's a chazok hesheni motaina. That's not a taina, because maybe the one who was marish it to you, maybe the one who died, or maybe the one who sold it to you, maybe he never really owned it. So if you have two edim who say dor bechad yoima, then you say tanina. But if you don't even have two edim, the dor bechad yoima, then you don't say tanina. If he himself says, I was watching when the original Morikama sold it to the one who sold it to me or to my father, so then that's a chazok, then it's good. He says, I was watching when he sold it. That's a tainus bari. I know for a fact that he sold it. That's a chazok sheshim ataina. But if the yorish or the lakeach was not present when the moirish or the moicher bought it from the original Morikama, then it's basically a chazok sheshim ataina. So you want to have taninon to advance the taina. You only say taninon if you know the dor bechad yoima. Yeah. So what's the din? Cheskes habatim and sholoshanim. You have to have 3 years. The cheskes habatim has to be davke. The same person was living there all 3 years. It doesn't have to be the same person. The Gemara says right here, five lines from the bottom, Shlosha Lekuch has been starfim. Three different, Reuven was living in the Karka for 1 year, Shimon was living after, Shimon bought it from Reuven, and Levi bought it from Shimon. So now Levi is living there, and he can bring witnesses that Reuven was living there for a year, and Shimon was living there for a year, and not he, Levi was living there for a year. So the Gemara says that it's we don't know about Reuven. Did Reuven really buy it from the owner? So that's Tainina, and you bring Edom that he was living there for a whole year. The neighbors will testify Reuven was living there for a whole year. Shimon bought it from Reuven. Levi bought it from him. So the din is that shlosha lekuches amitztarfim to constitute cheskes habatim shaloshanim. But the question is, the Marakama may not be aware Markama may not be aware of the fact that Reuben sold it to Shimon, Shimon sold it to Levi. So he's the real owner is the Markama. Let's say he went to Eretz Yisrael for a couple of years, and he heard that someone's living in his house for a year. So as long as he didn't hear that anybody was living there for 3 years, so he doesn't have to worry. He hears that one person lived there for 1 year, one person lived there for 1 year, one person lived there for 1 year. He didn't hear that the first one sold it to the second, second sold it to the third. It's all one hemshech of one cheskes habatim shaloshonim. So the Gemara says, still, it's a good chazaka, but provided b'kulam b'shtar, only if the first one sold it to the second one with a shtar, and second one sold it to the third one, because once you have a shtar, it's whenever there's going to be a shtar, it's going to be kolay yisleh. So the Marakama, it'll be expected of the Marakama that he will know that the first one sold it, Reuben sold it to Shimon b'shtar, and Shimon sold it to Levi b'shtar, and that'll add up to a cheskes habatim shaloshonim. So he should have been meicha. The Marakama should have been meicha. The fact that he wasn't meicha, so he loses, because the lakeah, the one who has cheskes habatim shaloshonim, Rashban quotes in the Gemara before the beginning of the parak, you're not mechuyev to hold on to your documents forever. Here in America, they used to have a rule, the IRS can call you in to check your taxes, I think, 5 years after you paid the taxes. 10 years, 5 years, I forgot. So people used to save their tax returns for forever. And then they keep on chiseling it off. And now I think it's only 3 years. They can only investigate you on your taxes 3 years after you paid your taxes. You have to hold file cabinets, files and files of all the canceled checks that you kept for the oil and oil. So after 3 years go by, you can throw out, you can destroy all the checks and throw them out. So that's what the Marakama is only, the Cheskes Habatim is based on the assumption the Marakama would not be quiet for 3 years without being Moicha if they're stealing his karka. But if the Marakama is not aware that the first one sold it to the second sold it to the third, he sees that for 1 year Reuben was living there, for 1 year Shimon was there, 1 year Levi was living there. So each one is a ganav. But each one was afraid to stay there for 3 years, and nobody has a cheskes habatim. If it's public knowledge that Reuben sold it to Shimon and Shimon sold it to Levi, then there is a hemshech over here. Then there is a cheskes habatim shaloshonim, and they're not mechuyev to hold on to the shtar. Reuben originally bought it from the Marakama, so he's not mechuyev to hold on to the shtar longer than 3 years. So Rav comments on this din. This is probably a brisa. Shlosha Lekuch has been starting probably a brisa. So Rab is commenting on the brisa. Lekulam bishtar. Why do you have to have the shtar? If he didn't sell it bishtar, then it may not be public knowledge, and it could well be that Marakam is not aware that Reuben sold it to Shimon, Shimon sold it to Levi. He'll think that each one is a ganav who stole it just for a year. So no one has a cheska about it. But if each one was bishtar, then it's going to be called Islay. So that's what the Gemara is. The memory you mean to say, the Sovar Rav Shtar Islay Kolam. Whenever you write a shtar, the Rashbam explains. Apparently, not all the people were so literate. Not everybody could write a shtar. In the days of the Tanoim, not everybody knew how to write. There's even a Mishnah in Gittin that the members of the Bez Nagol may not know how to write. They know how to talk and learn. They may not necessarily know how to write Hebrew. So they had to have a sefer masa. They had to have a scribe in the village, and they used to pay him money to write a shtar. Not like today, everybody goes to elementary school. They teach you how to write. So the Gemara says, the memory you mean to say, the sovar av shtar is lekola be'edim, if Reuben sold it to Shimon be'edim, and Shimon sold it to Levi be'edim, that's leis lekola. Only it's going to be Islay Kola Kulam Bishtar, only Shtar, Freg the Gemara. It's a contradiction of Rav. Vam Rav, Hamecha Sada Be'edim, Kovim and Achosim B'Shubadim. What is this all about? What is this all about? So the Rashbam explains Pashim Shah. There is a Mishnah at the end of the Masichta. Here the Gemara quotes the Mishnah on the second line from the top of Mem Beis Amid Aleph. Where is it? It says on the side, it's Kufayin Hei or something, very end of the Masichta. The bottom of Kufa and Heyam and Aleph, the last two lines. There's a Milva Balpeh and a Milva Bishtar. What are the differences in Milva Bishtar and Milva Balpeh? So one difference is a Milva Balpeh, you can only collect Minei. You can't collect from the lekuchas. There's only shibin aguf. There's no shibin achasim. No, the b'shtar. There's a shibin achasim. Even if the loyda dies, he can collect from the yisaimim. And even if the loyda sells the karka to the lekuchas, the mava can collect from the lekuchas. Fine. So hamavas chaver b'shtar goyvim achasim b'shibadim. You can collect from the lekuchas, but if you only give a halva yidei edim, there was no shtar god menachos menachon. That's one difference. What's the other difference? Is he believed to say parua? If you have a milva balpeh, if the malva lent money to the loiva but he didn't insist on getting a shtar, then the loiva is believed to say paraiti. His koifer hakol is, but menator is believed he doesn't even have to swear. It's only midi rabbanon. Shua says when it's introduced bimeha meroim ha'achreinim. That's what Tosin Kiddushin points out. The Gemara says, "Vahashta," and now in our generation, where we're Ravina Abashiach editing the Talmud Bavli, so every so often they have an expression, "Vahashta." In our generation, we have this and this practice, the din changed. So the Gemara says, "Vahashta." In our generation, we have the Shavuos Heses, when the fellows are Koifer Hakol. I say, "I lent you $1,000, and you say you never borrowed the money." Lo Lavisa, you say, "Paraiti, I paid." I mean, Torah, that's a koifer hakol, he's nemad belishvu. I mean, the Rabbanan, he has to swear that he paid it or that he never borrowed it. So that's what Tosfos points out. Hashta tikan Rabbanan Shua says means Shua says this was introduced by the Amoraim Achrayim in the days of Ravina Ravashi. In the days of the Tanaim, it didn't exist. In the days of the early Tanaim, in the days of the early Amoraim, it didn't exist. It introduced in the days of that Tanaim Achrayim. So there are two differences between Milva Bishtar and Milva Apeh. One difference is the loiva believed to say paraiti. By milva b'shtar, he's not believed to say paraiti because shtoch b'yodi my boy, the fact that the mal was still holding on to the shtar, that's a right that the loiva didn't pay. So that's one difference, is that loiva believed to say paraiti. The other difference is, can you collect from lekuchas? If it's a milva b'shtar, you can't collect from the lekuchas. Milva pay, can't collect from the lekuchas. Yeah. So here the Rashbam has a comment, Bishtar, Rajmam, around 10 lines down from the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Why is a milva Bishtar? Why do you collect from the Kuchas? Because Stam Shtar, Lachrayis Nichtav. Normally, when you write a Shtar Halva, you write, Kol Nachasa Mishibadim Lachobze. Then he adds on, Vafila Loid Nichtav. And even if they just wrote, Reuben borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, it doesn't say, Kol Nachasa Mishibadim Lachobze. They forgot to write that. It's a machlekes in the Gemara in the first parak in Bav Metzia. So Rashbam says correctly, Kai Malom, we pass on Halacha Achrayis to a Seferu, Kimishi Nichtav Dami. The fact that the Shtar Halvoa doesn't say one way or the other, whether there is a Shiba Nechosim, whether there is a Shiba Nechosim, whether the Malva will be able to collect from the Lukuchas or buy the Karka from the Loive, doesn't say one way or the other. That was a mistake, that was a scribal error. They're omitting to write that in the shtar as a scribal error, and it's considered as if it's a yad. The original din of yad is learned out from a posik by Nedarim and Shavuos. There's a din nefesh ki sishova levati bisvasayim. That's a book in Parshas Vayikra by Chatzos LeBiyorid. So it says nefesh ki sishova levati. The original posik only says by Shavuah nefesh ki sishova levati bisvasayim. So the Gemara in Shavuos points out, Goma believe tzorch lahoitzi b'svasov. That's the Gemara in Shavuos, daf chavov and a base. Person made up his mind, he's accepting a Shavuah not to eat potato chips anymore, but he never said it. He never pronounced it with his lips, so it's not binding. Tzorch lahoitzi b'svasov. Calls man that he didn't pronounce the Shavuah with his lips, it's not binding. Most of the Rishonim assume that even though the Pasuk only speaks about Shavuah, it carries over to Neder also, because Neder and Shavuah are both in Yoni HaFloah. Aflo means, Rashi writes on Chumash, Isha, Isha, Ki Afli, Linda, Neda, Nozer, Lahazel Hashem. So Rashi writes, Ki Afli, what is the word, Yafli, Haflo? Rashi writes, Yifarish, Bisvasov, Parle, Balaz. In French, they say Parle is to speak. So Nedarim and Shavuos are only binding if you pronounce it with your lips. If you don't say, it's not binding. So what if a fellow doesn't speak so clearly? When Rabbi Soloveitchik would talk about this, he would always say, Eisenhower. Apparently, I don't remember, I was too young. Apparently, Eisenhower never said a full sentence when he was the President of the United States. He was a war general, and then the Second World War, and then he became a President of the United States. So he said, you mean Eisenhower can never take a neder or a shvua? Eisenhower can't be Mekadosh and Isha, you need Amira. So the answer is, it's a yad. He says enough Based on what he said, we know what he's driving at, even though he didn't say the full sentence. So there's a yad hamachiach and a yad sheinah machiach. Based on what he said, is it 90% clear what he's driving at, or is it only 75% clear? So if it's a yad hamachiach, that's the pasuk that you learn out from the pasuk, that's considered levate bisvasai, even though he didn't say it fully, but based on the umdana, we know that that's what he's driving at. And if it's only 75% clear, that's a machloikis in the Gemara, yad sheinah machiach. Yad sheinah machiach means it's still 75% clear. If it's not clear at all, that's not called a yad. Yad means it is clear, but how clear is it? Is it only 75% clear, or is it 90% clear? So this din of yad, that is a din of yadis and darim, yadis and yesh yad and darim, yesh yad and shvu, yesh yad and naziris, based on the pasuk, does not only apply to Nedarim, Shavuos, and Naziris, it applies also to a get. And it applies any shtar. Let's say you have a shtar, and the shtar says, shtar halvoa, and it says, in the year, Tavshin Pei Beis. This year was Tavshin Pei Beis. No, this year was Chameshes Alafim Tavshin Pei Beis. The shtar was written 5,000 years ago. It says Tavshin Pei Beis. So it's self-understood, everybody knows, Chameshes Alafim Tavshin Pei Beis. 5782. It's not 782. It's 5782. So the Gemara says in the first perik in Maseches Avodah Zarah, let's say you have a shtar. In the days of the Gemara, there was no such practice to count how many years it is since Bryas Olam. That was instituted way later. Days of the Gemara, they would count how many years it is since Binyan Beis Hamikdash, how many years it is since Churban Beis Hamikdash, how many years it is since King so-and-so was appointed. The Jewish king over Eretz Yisrael, the Goyish king, they used to have minyan shtaros. How many years it is since the Goyish big king was appointed in the big country, even if it's not your country, another country. And the counting, the Bria Sarnam, was a later practice. So the Gemara says, whatever is self-understood, it says in the year 782, Tavshin Pei Beis. It doesn't mean so, it means Chamesha Salafim. Tavshin Pei Beis. Even though it doesn't say Chamesh Alafim, it's self-understood. That's why everybody writes Tavshin Pei Beis. That's a din of a yad. So the Gemara said there's a din of a yad by Hashtar. So let's say Hashtar Halvoa. Normal Shtar Halvoa, the Rashbam says, normal Shtar Halvoa says, Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon, and Shimon is accepting him by himself. He's Meshabed all of his karkois, and Meshabed the Metalklim. When you get married, that's the text that it says in everybody's ksuba. When Meshab nichsid the islon achrais is karka, nichsid the leislon achrais is metaltim. Usually there's no shim in the chosim on metaltim. But the Gemara has early in cheskabatim, there's a kinyan agav. If you mak the metaltim agav karka, all you have to do is make a kinyan on the karka, and you koina the metaltim agav the karka. That's the mission of the first parak in Kedushin based on the posuk in Diri Ayomim. There's such an institution as Kinyan Agav. And Sheba Nechasim also means a Kinyan Lachatzoyim. The Loiva borrows money from the Malva, and he's Meshabed all of his karkois to pay the Choyiv. Meshabed means a Kinyan Lachatzoyim, means my field belongs to the Malva with respect to giving him the ability to collect. In the event that the 5 years will be up, let's say he lent me the $10,000 for 5 years. At the end of the 5 years, if I don't have any assets, so he should have the right to claim that the field that I singled out, or all the fields that I singled out in the shtar, all the fields are knuim to him with respect to gevir. So even if I sold it to a lekech afterwards, I sold it to a lekech after I already was meshabited to the malva. So the malva owns the soda with respect to gevir sacho, with respect to his right to collect. So what if I didn't write this in the shtar? So that's a machloikis, and we paskan achrayis to sefer. The fact that the sefer omitted to write kol nechasim shabadim lechayiv zeh, that was a scribal error. And since that's the normal way you write every shtar, you write like that kol nechasim shabadim. And the common practice is that you even write nichsid de islon achrayis or the leslon achrayis. You write admiva mishabed metalpulim agav karka, just like you can sell metalpulim agav karka, so you can be mishabed metalpulim agav karka, because shibud is a form of kinyan lachatzoyim. There's a kinyan legamre. I own the gemara, it belongs to me. I own the jacket, it belongs to me. Then there's a kinyan lachatzoyim. Gemara has, let's say, the Gemara has in the beginning of Perek HaMafkid. Let's say a Shomer is watching a behemoth, and someone stole the behemoth. So the Shomer is only a Shomer Chinam. So he's not Chayv HaGenei V'Aveda. If he's a Shomer Socha, he's Chayv HaGenei V'Aveda. He's a Shomer Chinam, he's not Chayv. So if he wants to, he can swear, it was a Geneva, I don't know where it is, I don't know where the behemoth is, I don't want to pay. But if he wants to, he can Mishil Imele Rotsa Vishav. He says, Orthodox Jews try to avoid swearing, even to the truth. I'd rather pay you the $1,000 for the behemoth, rather than have to swear. Orthodox Jews avoid swearing even al ha'emes. So then later on it says, if they catch the ganav, if the police catch the ganav later on, the ganav pays kefil to the shomer, who is shilim alei rotzon lishava. Why? So the Gemara explains there at the beginning of Perek HaMafkid that it's self-understood that when the mafkid gave over the behemoth to the shomer chinam, it's as if it's self-understood that he's makna the behemah kinya lachatzayin, the behemah should belong to you in the event that it'll come up a gneiv aveda, and you'll be potter from paying. Hashem Mechina is only chayv on pshia. Hashem Masoch is chayv on gneiv aveda, is potter on onsen. Shoel is chayv on onsen, but is potter on mesa machmas malocha. So let's say by a shoel he could have been mesa, if it was mesa machmas malocha, he'll be potter. Rather than swear with mesa machmas malocha, he's prepared to pay. Or is a shoyel, and he's chayv. Let's say he was a shemesoch, he's chayv and gneiv aveda, but he's potter on onsen. What occurred was an oinus, so really he could swear and be potter. Or he was a shomer, chinam, and he's potter even on gneiv aveda, so he can swear that it was a nignevo or nevda, and it'll be potter from paying. He's only chayv on pshia. Shem chinam is only chayv on pshia. So anything less than that, he's not chayv. So strictly speaking, could have sworn that it was a gneiv aveda, he's potter. But rather than swear and potter himself, he's prepared to pay. He doesn't want it. Orthodox Jews try to avoid swearing even alo emes. The Gemara says, under such circumstances, if and when you find the ganav, it's self understood that the mafkid who gave the behemoth to the shomer chinam from day number one was makna the behemoth lachatzoyin to the shomer. The behemoth belongs to the shomer with respect to collecting the kefil. In the event that he will yishilem le'rotz l'shava, there's such a thing as a kinya lachatzoyin. Let's say I want to sell you, I have a farm, I have apple trees. So I want to sell you the apples that are going to grow in Shnas Tavshin Pei Hay. This is Tavshin Pei Beis. I want to sell you the pear, they're going to grow Tavshin Pei. It's a Dovah Shel Bodam, we can't do that. But the Gemara says, I can sell you the tree with respect to the Schus of Arai Ashbach of Tavshin Pei Hay. So the tree belongs to you, Lachatzoyim. The pears that grow Tavshin Pei Beis, Pei Gimel, Pei Dal belongs to me. The pears that grow Tavshin Pei Vav belong to me. And even a Tavshin Pei Hei, you have no right to chop down the tree. The tree belongs to me. I only was makna the tree to you with respect lachatzayim. The pears, the tree belongs to you right now. The tree is a dovish aboli olam. I'm selling you the tree. I'm giving you ownership of the tree with respect to the rights of Aroy Ashbach of Tavshin Pei Hei. So the Gemara says in Zeh Neshech that's legitimate. Even though that with respect to is a dovish aboli olam, the pears that will grow Tavshin Pei Hei should belong to you, but the tree is a dovish aboli olam. Tree is growing on the ground, so I can be makna to your dovish aboli olam lachatzoyin, and that lachatzoyin can even be with respect to something that's a dovish aboli olam. That's a question. That idea that there's such a thing as a kinya lachatzoyin. It more talks. Let's say if a shor amud kills an eved kanaini, so the Baal HaShor has to pay Shloshim Shkolim. It's a pasuk in Chumash. So the Gemara in Gitna has a shayla in the middle of Gitna, HaSholeach, can I sell you my Eved Kanaini with respect to you having the right to collect the Shloshim Shkolim Shel Eved if the Eved Kanaini will be killed by Yishar HaMuad? Can you do such a thing? How far do you go with this Kinyan LaChatzon? So the question, this Kinyan LaChatzon that works on the level of their Isa, maybe on the level of their Isa, it's either yours or mine. There ain't no such thing as kinya lachatzoyin. I'm mishabed, the loiver is mishabed all of his karkois to the malve with respect to collecting the choyv. So the karkois of the loiver belong to the malve with respect to collecting the choyv. In the event that the loiver will be bankrupt, when the 5 years are up for the halva, it's time to pay back. He doesn't have any money. So the karka that he was mishabed to the malve when he gave him the shtar means he was makna the karka with respect to the malbush, it belonged to the malbush, with respect to his ability to collect. So the question is, that works on the level of the Raisa, maybe whole kinyan chatzoyin, maybe this whole concept only exists midrabon. So that's the Ritva and Kiddushin and Daf Yud Gimel. Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel is one of the places here, the top tesis on Membeis Amar Aleph, refers it to Kiddushin. They don't refer you. They don't refer you. On the side of the Gemara, they refer you. Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel is one of the sources. The Kufayin Hey, in the end of the Masechta here, also one of the sources. There is a Machloikas in the Gemara where the Shibura Deraisa, Shibura Lab Deraisa. The ability of the Mala to collect from the Lukuchas based on Shiva Nechasim, does that work min HaTorah? Does it only work min the Rabbanah? So the Ritvo and Kiddushan of Daf Yud Gimel has a Chiddush. He thinks that the Machloikas is even if you were Meshabit, the Machloikas were the Shibura Deraisa, Lab Deraisa, even if the Loiva was Meshabit Beferish, he wrote a Shtar, and he wrote Kol Nechasim Mishabatim Lachayivzeh, even if I sell the Karkoes to the Lakeach, you should still have the right to collect from the Lukuches, a makna the karka to your lachatzoin, kinya lachatzoin. So the Ritva said, that's a machlekes, but it's such a concept, kinya lachatzoin, maybe it only exists mid the Rabbanon. Maybe on the level of the Raisa, there is no such thing. Other Rishonim say, not so. If you're Meshabit Beferish, there's a kinya lachatzoin. The whole machlekes by the Shibuda the Raisa, love the Raisa, he didn't write explicitly, but if he writes explicitly, I'm Meshabit my lachasim to you, so then there is a kinya lachatzon. You can make a kinya lachatzon min HaTorah. It's a question of an umdina. Question of an umdina. But if he wrote beferish on Meshabit all the manchasim, that everyone will agree should put in their eyes. That's a big machlekes. The Ritva and the other Rishonim. What exactly is the machlekes? Whether she put in their eyes or love their eyes. That's a big machlekes in the Gemara. Here it's in the end of Bar Basra. We just looked on Kufa and Hamer base. The Mishnah, we were reading the Mishnah, Kufayin Hem et Aleph, the last two lines, it goes over to Amud Beis. So right after the Mishnah ends, about 15 lines down from the top, it's a machlag, Ula and Rabba, where the Shibura deraisa, lav deraisa. Machlag is where the Shibura deraisa, Shibura lav deraisa. What's the difference, halacha l'maisa? So we'll have to learn the top tesis on Amud Beis and Aleph. It comes out that that's not enough, Kamin. Tosfos gives pshat in the Gemara, and they tell you one din. So it comes out that's not a nafkamina. So really, they're very slight nafkaminas that never come up in a million years. The one who lists off all the nafkaminas, there's a sefer on Kiddushin called Shita Lanoi Delami. They printed years ago. They printed a manuscript from the days of the Rishonim, and they didn't know who the author is. An anonymous sefer. It's not the Rashba or the Ritva. We know it's somebody else. And he quotes interesting opinions all the time. So the so the Shita Lado de la Mi on Kiddushin Daf Yud Gimel, when the Gemara has this machlokes, but the Shibura deraisa lav deraisa, what's the difference halacha lemaisa? The difference that Tosis is going to say over here, Membeis Amar Aleph, the top Tosis is rejected. Once you get to the Maskana, Kufayin Hei Amud Beis. So what is the difference? So the Shita L'Nada L'Mi rattles off six differences. Allah never comes up in a million years. Never comes up. But it's a long shach. The shach in Chosh Mishpat. It's in the Lamites. The first 38 simonim in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Dayanim and Hilchas Eidus. And then Simon Lamites is Hilchas Eidim Zaymimim. That's the end of Dayanim and Eidus. Then Simon Lamites starts Hilchas Hilchas Malva Valoiva, how to fill out a shtar in Milva Bishtar, Milva Balpeh. So there's a long shach in Siman Lamedes where he speaks about this topic. How do we pass on Halacha Lamaisa? Shibura Deraisa, Lav Deraisa. He gives a long list of Rishayim hold one way, a long list of Rishayim hold the other way, and he comes to the Maskana, it's a Sveik and Adina, whether Shibura Deraisa, Lav Deraisa, but they're very insignificant nafkaminas. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't have any of these nafkaminas. Just Shita Lano de Lame, and Kiddush and Nafi Gimel gives you nafkaminas. So getting back again. So what did the Gemara ask Akasha here? Let's go back again. The bottom of Mem Aleph on the base. Shlosha lekuchas mitzdarfim. Each lekech was only eating peris for 1 year, but altogether they had 3 years. And Morikame cannot taina. I saw each one was only living in the karka for 1 year. I thought it was a ganef, so I didn't bother to be moiche. I didn't bother to be moiche because each one was acting like a ganef, so they're not going to be able to claim that it's theirs. So Rab says, the Brisa apparently says, Shlosha lekuchas amitztarfim zem ze. But Rav limits it. He says only kula the mishtar. Only if Reuven sold it to Shimon b'shtar, Shimon sold it to Levi b'shtar. We don't know if Reuven ever bought it from the original Morakama. If Reuven can produce a shtar that he bought it, so it's his. So that then you don't need a whole cheskas abatim story. That's what the Rashbam points out. Kula the mishtar means when Reuven sold it to Shimon, Shimon sold it to Levi. There were two shtar. Kulam usually means three or more. So kulam over here doesn't mean that you know that there's a shtar that Reuven bought it from the Morakama. Reuven bought it from the Morakama b'shtar, that's the end of the story. So we know that it belongs to Reuven, and then Reuven sold it, it belongs to Shimon, it belongs to Levi. There wouldn't be any dintari. You wouldn't need a cheskas abatim if Reuven still has the shtar. We're talking Reuven doesn't have any shtar. He claims that he bought it from the Morakama. There is a shtar that indicates that Reuven sold it to Shimon. There is a shtar that indicates Shimon sold it to Levi. So Rab says, in that case, it's going to be Islei Kolo. But if they sold it, Reuven sold it to Shimon be'edim, and Shimon sold it to Levi be'edim, not b'shtar, then there's Leis Le'Kolo, and then the Morakama Kentaina. I didn't realize that there's a Cheskin Abatim taking place. I didn't bother to be Moiche. Because each one of the three gangsters, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, each one only lived there for a year. And it looks like no one, they're just squatters. No one's going to claim a cheskas abatim. So that's why I didn't bother to be moicha. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, Le'memra, you mean to say the Rav is of the opinions of Rav? Shtar is le'kol edim, le'is le'kol avoham Rav. Rav says, a moicha sada be'edim, what is he goivim in a chosim shibodim? So that's what the Rashbam explains. You can sell a soda be'achrayis, and you can sell a soda shalom be'achrayis. Let's say I sell a soda to someone else, and it turns out that the soda didn't belong to me. The soda belonged to someone else. The fellow gave me $100,000, and I cashed his check, and I sold him a soda. Then it comes out, it's not my soda. So of course I have to reimburse the lekech. I stole $100,000 from the lekech. I sold him a soda sheni shali, an outright gazlan. So you don't need any kabbalas achrayas. You don't have to agree when you sell the soda to the lekech, and you say if it turns out that the soda is stolen, I will reimburse you every penny, every red cent that you gave me. That's a double put. You don't have to accept that. If it turns out the soda doesn't belong to you, you're a gazlan, and the $100,000 that you get, you have to give back every penny. We're talking over here, amocha soda lachaveris mekabel achrayis. If I borrowed money from someone, and the malva will come to collect from the lakeach, so the mecher b'shaita was chal. I'm the loiva, and I sold the karka to a lakeach. So, and he paid me $100,000, and I cashed the check, I deposited the money. Then I gambled away all the money, now I'm penniless. And now, because I borrowed money years ago, I borrowed money from Amalve, and I never paid him back, and I was Meshabar Olam HaKarkoes to the Halvoa, so the Malve comes to Lekech, he takes away the Karka. So that wasn't a Mekachtoes. At the time that I sold him the field, he acquired ownership of the field. It did belong to me, except that because I was Meshabar, the Soda to the Malve, before I sold it to Lekech, so that's why the Malva has the ability, has the right to take it away from the Lekech. So now the question is, do I have to reimburse the Lekech? Because the Mecha was valid. B'shas Mecha, the Mecha was valid. The Soda did belong to me. There's a Rashi in Gittin. Rashi has a unique opinion. He says that if Rashi explains, how does Shibin HaChosim work? How come the Malva has the right to take away from the Lekuchas? The Lekuchas never borrowed money from him. So Rashi says, in order to be a full owner, to have the ability to sell, you have to have Shaloya B'shusay. That's a Machlekes in Bava Kama. Machlekes HaTanoim, and then it's a Machlekes of Yechanan Vishlokesh out of Paskin, and we Paskin like Rabbi Yechanan. that to be a full Oni, you have to have Shaloi Bishusi. What's an example of something? Shali, the Eina Bishusi, let's say I have an automobile and my car is parked in the yeshiva garage. So that's Shali, Eina Bishusi. Let's say my car is parked on the street, where everybody else parks on the side of the street. That anything that Shali is automatically Bishusi. The only time it's called Eina Bishusi if it's stolen. Let's say they stole my automobile, I don't know where it is, and then the automobile is still Shali, it belongs to me, but it's Eina Bishusi because it's not, I don't have access to it, I don't know where it is. So that's Shali Eina Bishusi. So what's the Din Gozal? Someone stole my behemoth, and I don't know where it is. Can I be Magdish the behemoth? Can I sell the behemoth to someone else? So that was a Machloikis Hatanoim and Mishnayis. The Gemara quotes in Bava Kama, Daf Samachta, the Gemara quotes in Machlokes HaTanaim, and Mishnayis, Maseches, Maisa Sheni. Gotta know everything. It's a Machlokes HaTanaim, and it's a Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, which Tana to Paskan like. That we Paskan like Rabbi Yochanan, that to be considered a full Bailam, you have to have Shali or Bishusi. So if you have the Ritva rights in Bava Mitzvah, if something is lost, that's Shali or Bishusi. Anything that Shali is automatically Bishusi, but if it's stolen, and the Ganav has a Kinyan Ganeva on it, then it's called Shali, Ve'ena Bishusi. Let's say the Ganav stole Karka. So we pass in Karka, Ena Nigzelis. If you steal Karka, you're in violation of Elai Sigzel, but the Gaznon, the one who steals Karka, does not acquire a Kinyan Gzela. So the Gemara says, if you stole Karka, it's always considered, since Karka Ena Nigzelis, the Gaznon does not acquire what we call Kinyan Gzela. So the karka is only shaloya bishusa of the original owner. He retains the shaloh, and he retains bishusa, only becomes ena bishusa if it's stolen by the ganav, and the nignav doesn't have access to it. He doesn't know where it is. He doesn't have the ability to get to it. Then shaloy ena bishusa. So what's the din of something in shaloy ena bishusa? So the Gemara says, Gemara says he can't sell it, and you can't be magdish it, and yochel hagdish, you can't be mafkirit, and if it's my sasheni, you can't be poida. You can only be poida if it's my farm. And I was mafrish to Magdala, the my sarish and my sasheni. So if someone else stole the my sasheni, and he absconded with my sasheni, I can't be poida the my sasheni. And when I want to save him from violating anisa, he's going to eat the my sasheni chutz li Yerushalayim. So I want to save him from violating the isa. I don't have the ability to be paid in the Maaseh Sheni. If it's Shali Ve'ena Bishusi, I'm not a full Balaam. You can't be Magdashit, you can't sell it, you can't be Mafkirit, and you can't be paid in Maaseh Sheni. You're not a full Balaam. You're not a full Balaam. So Rashi says, when the Loiva borrows money from the Malva, he has no right to sell his karkos in such a way that the Malva will not be able to collect. He's gonna go bankrupt, and then he's gonna sell his field to someone else. And then the Malva won't be able to collect. So Rashi writes in Gittin that Rashi writes in Sochem and in Gittin he holds like that, that the Loive had no right to sell his karka to the Lukuchas to be mafsid the Malva. So therefore, even though the field of the loiva belongs to the loiva, he doesn't have the right. He doesn't have the right to sell it because he's going to be mafsid the malva. So therefore, it's shalov ve'ena b'shusai. So therefore, the sale was never valid. The sale that the loiva sold the karka to lekech never got off the ground. So therefore, when the malva collects from the lekuchas, he's really collecting from the loiva because the sale was never chal in the first place. So Tosfos says it's 100% wrong. It's 100% wrong. If someone sells karka to someone else, ninch the shena shaloi, then it's outright gezel. The mechira wasn't chal. The field didn't belong to me, so of course I have to reimburse the lekech. The one who bought it for me gave me $100,000 check. I have to give him back every penny. But if I sold karka, the loiva sold karka, and then the malva takes it away from the lekuches because it has shibin nechasim, the sale to the lekech was chal. You don't say like Rashi, the sale was never chal, and it's a gloy Muslim afreya that the malva is really collecting from the loiva. It's not true. Love is not collecting from the loiva. What are you going to say? Let's say the loiva died, and the yorshim get it. You're going to say the loiva had no right to die. What do you mean, had no right to die? The Malach HaMavis took his life. He didn't commit suicide. He died. You're going to say it's considered as if he didn't die. What do you mean? He's not alive. And the karka belongs to the Yarshim. So how do you collect from the Yarshim? Rashi claims, if the loiva sold karka to the Lukuchas, the loiva had no right to sell it to the Lukuchas, because it's going to be mafsid the Malva. So even though the field belongs to the loiva, it's shaloi, but it's ain't a b'shusai. He had no right to sell it. So since it's shaloi, ain't a b'shusai, that's why the sale to the Lukuchas was never chal. If it comes out when the 5 years are up for the halvoy, and the loiva has money to pay, so let him pay up the halvoy. So this sale to the Lukuchas was chal. But if it turns out the loiva is bankrupt, he gambled away all of his money, he doesn't have a penny to pay, so the only way for the Malva to collect the halvoy is by collecting from the Lukuchas. So then we say, Rashi says, Igloi Muslim Afreya, that the loiva had no right to sell the karka in the first place, so the sale was not valid, because it was shalot v'en it was shusay, and therefore the sale is not chal, and when the Malva collects from the Lukuchas, he's really collecting from the loiva. So Tosfos says, how can it be? What are you going to explain by Yorshim? He had no right to die, so it's considered as if he's still alive, so he's not collecting from the loiva. Loiva is dead and buried. So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos said, that's not how Shiba Nechasim works. Not that it's a loiva and a bishusa, and the sale was never chal. The sale was chal, but he had sold it, the loiva, when he was mishabe, the karka, to the malva, when he lent him the money, he gave him a shtar halvor. Mishabe, it means he gave him kinya lachatzan, gave him ownership of all the karkois with respect to the right to collect his debt. And he gave this kinya lachatzan to the malva before he sold the karka to the lekeach. So the malva acquired partial ownership before the lekeach got it. So if I sell my field to you today and to someone else tomorrow, so whoever bought it the first day gets ownership. So here, the loiva was makna his karka to the malva when he gave him the shtar halvoya way before he sold the karka to the lekuchas. So therefore, the malva owns it lachatzoin. Malva has a right to take it away from the lekuchas. So if I sell karka to someone else and it turns out that I was a ganav, nimsa shena shaloi, it turns out it's not my farm. Wasn't my house to sell. So you don't have to be mekabel achrayus. You have to reimburse the money when the rightful owner comes, when the nigzal comes and he takes away the karka from the lekeach. So the ganav who stole it and sold it to the lekeach has to reimburse every penny. He was selling a karka that didn't belong to him. Of course he has to reimburse. We're talking, the loiva sold the karka to the lekeach, and it was meshubah to the malva, not nimsas soda sheni shaloi. So the mecha was chal, not like Rashi says, it'll be a gloi muslim afreya with shaloi b'ne b'shusen, the mecha wasn't chal. We don't accept that Rashi. That Rashi is very difficult. It's against all the Gemaras. That's a Rashi in Psochim, and there's a gigantic Tosfos in Gitna, Daf Mem and Veis, where they take apart the Rashi. They don't agree with anything Rashi says. It's against all the Gemaras. Against all the Gemaras. So here the Gemara has like this. I sell a karka to a lekeach, the karka is mine. But I had already previously, before I sold the karka to a lekeach, I had borrowed money. And I was meshabed all of my nechasim. So then, years later, the malva comes to the lekeach and he takes away the karka. But until the malva takes it away, the karka, it's only b'choy mikana la'abo goyva. The karka only belongs to the malva mikana la'abo when he collects it. I don't say it's a glory Muslim afreya that the mechira to the loiva was never, the mechira to the lekeach was never chal. The mechira was chal b'shaito. So does the loiva who sold the karka to the lekeach, does he have to reimburse the lekeach? Lekeach paid him $100,000 for the karka, and now the lekeach had it for a year or two, and then the malva took it away from the lekeach. So is the loiva who sold the karka to the lekeach, is he mechuyev to reimburse the lekeach? So that depends whether mocha be'achrayis or mocha shalo be'achrayis. So that's what the Gemara says, Omar Rav, two lines from the bottom. Amechasada be'edim be'achrayis. That's what the Rashbam explains over here. Amechasada lachaveiro. Where's the Rashbam? Such long the Rashbam is. Amechar sadeh bifnei edim v'kibel ol achrayis. Except that the Mocher was a loive, accepted upon himself achrayus if the karka will be taken away from the lekeach because of my chayvus, because I borrowed money, I never paid it back. So then I personally obligate myself. He made a kinyan. he personally obligates himself to reimburse the lekeach all the money that he paid him. So the shaila is, and then the karka is taken away from the lekeach because of the halvah that he had previously made. So the shaila is, and he committed himself, the leiva committed himself to reimburse the lekeach. So is that only a shibud binei, or you can even collect from the chasam shubadim? Let's say there are other karkois that the leiva sold to other lekuchas. Can this lekeach, whose karka was taken away by the malchayiv, can he go to the other lekuchas to collect? So that's where Rab says a chiddush, goyvim in a chasam shubadim. Why is he goyvim in a chasam shubadim? Either it's going to be a pseded the lekuchas, that's what the Gemara explains later. Kufayin Ham at base. That there's only a Shiba Nechasim on Milva Bishtar, Milva Balpet, there's no Shiba Nechasim. Why? Because if you'll allow the Malva to collect from the Lekuchas even in the Milva Balpet, so you're going to ruin the whole world of real estate. People will be afraid to buy Karka because the Karka may be taken away because of Halvoah. And then they paid $100,000 for the karka, and they'll be out the money. So Mishum Seder the Lekuchas, we canceled, even if you hold Shibura Deraisa, Mishum Seder the Lekuchas, we canceled the Shibin Nechasim, if it's a Milva Alpeh. So Rav says over here, Hamoicha Sada Be'edim, Govim Nechasim Shibonim, why? Hamoicha Be'edim is Islay Kola. So that's a contradiction in Rav. That's what the Gemara says. The Memra, you mean to say the Savarav, only if it's Shtar, is Lekola. If it's Mecha, if it's a Halva, the Eidim, if it's a Mechira, the Eidim, Bali Shtar, Leis Lekola. But Rav is the one who says, Amecha Sada, Beidim, Gabin, Hashem, Shabbatim, it's going to be Is Lekola. It'll be Is Lekola. You don't need a Shtar that it should become Is Lekola. When you have a Shtar, it's always going to be Is Lekola, the Rajbam says, because not everybody knows how to write. So it's going to be a big event in town when they're going to write a shtar and you're going to get kosher edim to sign it. There's going to be islay kolam. But the shaila is, what if there's no shtar? What if he sells a karka to someone else? Bifnei edim. Is that islay kolam or islay kolam? So before Rav implied, shlosha lekuchas amitztar from to constitute cheskas abatam only kulam bishtar. Because if it's not bishtar, if Reuben sold it to Shimon, shalom bishtar. Shimon sold it to Levi, shalom bishtar. And the Murakama wasn't expected to be Moicha. He can say, I didn't realize that it's one big cheska batim. I thought each guy's acting like a ganav and stealing my karka for years. I didn't bother to be Moicha. So Rab seems to be assuming that if it's Shalob Bishtar is less lekola, Eidim is less lekola. It contradicts the other din that Rab said. Rab says, Amurcha sora lachaver of the Eidim, govim in a chosim shibodim, if he accepted upon himself achrayis. The loiv accepted achray as if the karka will be taken away from the lekeach because of a halvoa that the loiv had made previously before he sold the karka to the lekeach. He will reimburse the lekeach. So if it would be leis lekola, then you wouldn't be able to collect from the lekuchas. That would be upset of the lekuchas. So you see that amoicha sada lechaver b'edim is leis lekola. Why did Rab say over here it has to be b'kulam mishtar? That's the Gemara's theory. So on this theory, the Gemara answers, and for the Gemara, Hosam Lekuchas, Inu Apsidu Anavshai. The whole reason that you're concerned about Pseida the Lekuchas, you don't want to ruin the whole world of real estate, because of Pseida the Lekuchas, yeah, but the Lekuchas, it's their responsibility to ask around, to find out whether there is any Shibin Hosam on the Karka. So if it's a Merchas Sada Be'edim, you don't worry about the Pseida the Lekuchas, because the Edom, if they would have investigated, they would have heard that there's a Shibin Lechosim on the Karka, and they could have been careful not to buy this Karka. But in our case, the Murakama is not mechuyev to make a whole investigation, whether Lekuchas, you want to cancel the Shibin Lechosim because Pseida the Lekuchas, you don't cancel it if it's Inu Asira Anavshai, if it's their own stupid fault that they didn't investigate before they bought the karka, then you don't have to worry about Pseida the Lekuchas. But in this case over here, we're talking whether the Marakama will be aware of the fact that the Reuben sold it to Shimon, Shimon sold it to Levi in the 3 years. Reuben lived there for 1 year and this sold to Shimon, lived 1 year, Levi lived 1 year. So the Marakama will think each one was a Ghana for a year. He won't realize that it's connected. If it'll be Bishtar, Rav says, if it'll be Kulam Bishtar, Reuben sold it to Shimon Bishtar, Shimon sold it to Levi Bishtar, then it's one long Cheskes Habatim. So that's only Bishtar is Isle Kolam. But if it's Be'edim, it's going to be Leisle Kolam. It'll be, if you're talking about an issue of Pseidon Lekuches, we don't have to worry about Pseidon Lekuches because that's their own stupid fault. They could have investigated in advance. But to say that the Morakama should have been Moicha, that's only if it's public knowledge. Not going to be public knowledge, Mimela. That's what the Rashbam has on a word over here. It's not going to be automatically public knowledge, Isle Kola. If it's Bishtar, is Isle Kola. If it's Be'edim, it's not going to be, it's going to be Leisle Kola, unless you're talking about Lukuchas, because whenever you buy any real estate today, that's a common practice. You pay a fortune of money to a lawyer to make an investigation in advance. So in the days of the Tanaim also, the Lukuchas are expected to make an investigation. So if you sold karka be'edim, the lukuchas will be able to make an investigation. That's what the Gemara distinguished between the two cases. With respect to lukuchas, I say it's an obvious like college. They should have investigated. They would have found out about it. But when they get to being mitzaref to 3 years together, echeskes habatim against the Markam. Markam is not mechuyev to make any investigations. To his best knowledge, he saw Reuven was stealing the karka 1 year, Shimon was stealing 1 year, Levi was stealing 1 year. He doesn't have to be moicha just because someone was stealing 1 year. If someone was stealing for 3 years, he'll be moicha. That's how the Gemara says. Then the Gemara asked the kasha, it's not true. Le'omar Rav Hachi, is that the correct answer to Rav? Lo ha'tanan, we have a Mishnah, Hamal v'schader, that's the Mishnah Kufayin Hei that we just saw before. Lo ha'tanan, Hamal v'schader, b'shtar, if the loiva gave a shtar to the mal, the goyva menachosim shabbatim, ayayedim goyva menachosim menachar, and that's one difference. There are two differences between a milva vishtar and milva alpeh. One difference is whether the loiva is believed to say paraiti. If it's a milva alpeh, the loiva is believed to say paraiti. That's called koifra hakol. When the Torah doesn't even have to swear, but the Rabbanon has to swear shuasesis. And milva vishtar, he's not believed to say parati, because shtoch abiyadim, my boy. The other difference is whether he goyve menachosim mishabod. So the Vedic always used to point out the Shach has this in Choshem Mishpa. These two nafkaminas, to milva vishtar and milva alpeh, are interconnected. If it's a milva alpeh and the loive can say parati, the loive is believed to say parati, so the only time he has to pay is he admits the loipara. If he'll say paraiti, then he can't have any claims against him. Milval peh, even though he borrowed in the presence, amal v'schader be'edim, and it's orch l'far be'edim. Even though he borrowed in the presence of edim, he's not mechuyev to pay back the money in the presence of edim. He can always say paraiti. So you cannot collect from the lekuchas based on the hoidos balvin of the loiva. If the loiva admits lo paraiti, that will enable the malva to collect from the lekuchas. That's how does Badin Chav Lachrini. The loiva admits, I borrowed money and I never paid it back. But the loiva is bankrupt. He doesn't have any money to pay. So because the loiva is admitting, that's what enables the malva to collect from the lekuchas. A big tzari. Hadoz Badin Kameid and Dami. He's made on someone else's cheshman. I'm made that I owe money, but I'm broke. I can't pay back the money. So my Hadoaz Badin will enable you to, with the Malva to collect from the Lukuch. So there is no such din. The Gemara said that's called Hadoaz Badin Chav Lachrini. Hadoaz Badin Chav Lachrini is a Gemara that is not acceptable. So that's why the Shach always points this out. These two dinim are interconnected. If you have a Milva Alpeh, the Loiva is believed to say Paraiti. Kaifa Akol is believed to say Paraiti. So therefore you cannot collect from the Lukuchas. And if you have a milva bishtar, the loiva is not believed to say paraiti, so therefore he doesn't have to make haidos bavdin. The malva has a shtar, so therefore the malva can collect from the lukuchas. Because if you can only collect based on a haidos bavdin of the loiva, that will be a haidos bavdin chav lachrini. The loiva will admit that he still owes the money, and therefore the malva is unable to collect from the lukuchas. Haidos bavdin chav lachrini is not acceptable. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik obviously said that. So Shach has that in a few places. Every 75 pages in Chesh Mishnah, Shach repeats it again. Hadas Badin Chav Lachrin is no good. Therefore, these two dinim, the two differences between Milva Bishtar and Milva Alpeh, are interconnected. So the Gemara says, is this true that Rav makes such a distinction? The Mishnah says, Amavos chaver b'shtar gav menachosim shabbatim al yedei ed mitzvah mil v'al peh gav menachosim menachorin. Why? Why? Because leis leikola. So it's going to be upsetted the lukuchas. And Rav said over here that al yedei edim is also is leikola. So how come there's a contradiction? Here we say it's only if there's a shtar is is leikola. If the halvor was be edim, it's leis leikola. And before Rav said it, even if it's not bishtar, it's also is leikola. So the Gemara says on this, I v'chitema, maybe you'll say Rav Tanu who Palag, Rav disagrees with the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Rav doesn't disagree with the Mishnah. Rav doesn't disagree with the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, v'haravish mo damet chava, mil v'al peh enigoy v'lo min ha-yoshim, v'lo min ha-lakuches. So Rav is subscribing to what it says in the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that a mil v'al peh is ain't a goyvim in halakuchas. So the question, why not? Because pseida de lakuchas. Where Rab says, even al yedei edim is going to be islei kolos. So why is there pseida de lakuchas? So to this, the Gemara answers, no, they're two different things. Halvoa de edim is leislei kolos. That's what the Gemara answers. And for the Gemara, milva azvini karamis, you're asking a rumya, a contradiction between a halvoa and a mecher. Milva, if he borrows money, be edim, that's leislei kolos. Why? Kiko Yosef, when a person borrows money, it's Sinuko Yosef. He doesn't want the public to know that he's in need of money. He wants to keep it a secret, because if the public, the whole public doesn't know he's in need of money, then he's going to want to sell some of his real estate. They won't be willing to give him the full amount. They know that he's hard-pressed for money, and they'll handle with him. They'll chisel down the price of the karka. So Mandi Yosef, Betzina Yosef. When someone borrows money, he borrows Betzina. So the only, by halvoya, the only time it's going to be islei kola if it's a milva b'shtar. But if it's a milva al peh b'edim, it's going to be islei kola. Why man Yosef b'tzina Yosef? Why does he do it privately? He doesn't want it to become public knowledge. Ke'ech delo litzalu nichse alei. He doesn't want his real estate to go down in value. It should become zol. He doesn't want people to know that he's borrowing money and he's in debt. And he's going to sell karkois in order to pay up the debt, so that people will know that he's hard pressed for money. They won't give him the full amount of money, but that's only by a halvoa. Man the Yosef, it's in the Yosef. But Zvina, if you're selling a karka, man the Zavan are befarhesia Zavan. If you sell it, you buy karka, you buy befarhesia. Kech de lepa le kola. You want everybody to know that you sold the karka, you bought the karka. So that's what the Gemara explained. That's what we assume halacha lemaisa. The difference between a halvoa. Milva bishtar is isle kola. Milva apta is leisle kola. But a mecher, even if it's shelo bishtar, is going to be isle kola. That's what Rav said. It'll be isle kola, not mele. It won't happen automatically. It'll only be isle kola if the lukuchas will investigate. If they didn't investigate, it's their own stupid fault. They should have. Usually the lukuchas, before they buy real estate, do investigate. So if they'll ask around, they'll be able to hear that. It's enough Islay Kola that they'll hear about it. But it won't be Islay Kola Memela. So that's why the Marakame was not b'chuyiv to know if Reuben sold it to Shimon B'edim, and Shimon sold it to Levi B'edim, but Lishdar, Marakame will not know on his own. He's not b'chuyiv to investigate. To the best of his knowledge, three Ganovim, each one used his karka just for a year, and no one tried to make a Cheskes Avatim. So he didn't bother to make a Makom. That's how we paskin. Yeah, this Taptasis is important. Maybe we'll start it tomorrow. What's the issue over here? What does this depend on? Milval peh. Milval peh is ain't a goyve min halakuchas. What about min hayisayim? Is a milval peh goyve min hayisayim or not? What's the dinner? What does it depend on? So that's what the Taptasis explains. What does it depend on? And it's a shaila whether we paskin like that or not. Okay, so we'll leave that tomorrow. We'll start from the Taptasis.